Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and with me, as always, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing on this beautiful, gloomy morning?
It's a little gloomy. I like it.
You love it.
I do like it.
Does it put you in like a good mood? And I don't mean self-esteem. I just mean like an overall chipper mood for what the day can hold for you.
I think when it's gloomy, it just relaxes me.
Do you feel like it matches your personality?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So that's what it is.
Well, I don't know. I think one of the hardest adjustments for me when I moved here was that there is no weather.
Yes.
And it doesn't rain.
Yes.
And some days are not cold. It's always just 35 degrees. Well, I guess what is...
it's like 75 I'm using here, Celsius. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 80 degrees and hot and there's no clouds every day for 5 months. And it made me kind of nuts. So when it's a little gloomy, I'm like, yes, the gloom.
Yeah, this feels like a little like fall or
big
something.
Big gloom like guy.
Speaking of gloom, scale 1 to 10, how are you feeling in terms of self-esteem?
I mean, on the gloom scale, I'm a 10. No, no, I'm doing good. It's been it's just a roller coaster last week, up and down like crazy.
Yeah.
I might even say I was as high as an 8.
Yeah.
And then maybe as low as a 3.
Yeah, it was a bit of a, because career stuff, right?
Was the
whirlwind, you had to travel with short notice.
Also, I'm not sure if people have been doing this, but traveling during COVID is terrible.
It's the absolute worst. I know I came on here and made it sound like being a jet setter was something fun and cute and flirty, but let me tell you guys, there is a massive downfall.
Yeah, and the downfall is that it sucks.
Yeah, exactly. And it's stressful.
It's very stressful.
Yeah. But it's like, yes, you went in at an 8, fun, excited, and then something ends and you're like, oh,
okay.
Fuck this.
What can you do?
What can you do?
And here we are now, and it's totally fine. And yep. The gloom is making me happy. And yeah, what am I? Like a 6 or something?
I would say you're a 6. You're not a usual 5 because there's potential to the day. And here's the thing. It's like when we hit a low, I talk about this with our guest who clocks in neutral, but you know, you have places to go. You can go up when you're in a low and then you're like, all right, it's either going to get lowered by 2 points, which is pretty low,
yep.
But odds are it's going to go up. There's a better chance it goes up because there's room to grow. So the 6 makes sense.
I think I've talked about this before too, about like, the reason I went back home to Toronto to do a commercial audition, like a callback.
A big one,
A big campaign callback, whatever. And it's bizarre. It was bizarre.
Yeah,
it's so fucking weird. And anyone who's like listening, who is thinking about getting into the entertainment business and they're like, oh, maybe I'll try doing commercials and stuff. I'm just going to, here's a heads up. It's fucking hell. It's so weird and dumb and there's no rhyme or reason to anything.
And it makes you feel so bad about yourself and it has so little to do with talent.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
And it's like preparing for a job interview whenever, like over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And it's so random too in the sense that it's like, you know, you could go in there, you could totally do such a good job, but then they're like, 2 people with brown hair? I don't think so. Like, it comes down to the weirdest thing as to why you get it or don't get it.
And it reverts you to being like, oh my God, my whole life hinges if I'm the mayonnaise spokesman. And it's like, no, it doesn't. Who gives a shit? It's fucking whatever it is.
For the mayonnaise.
Yeah, it's for some dumb fucking product. It's not actually doing, you know... art or anything,
but
of
here's
course.
The thing:
it's
when there's
like
big,
less than that,
when there's
like,
big money on the line, though, it tricks you.
The money is great,
yeah, but it tricks you.
Yeah, but it tricks you,
and into making you care about something that is so out of your hands. Like I said, 2 people with brown hair. It's so out of your hands, but it makes you care. Like at least it's like if it was like a show or a movie or something that you could like really sink your teeth into where you're like, yes, there's a character, there's this, mm-hmm. there's that. But it's like, what are you going to do in one line? What are you going to do? Or it's like, if you, okay, here's the thing that the women get. Norm, you and I have talked about this and you can back me up.
We love this bit.
We love this bit. But like, this is the breakdown the women get. okay, so you're at a mattress store with your husband, you know, and you love him, but you're mad at him. You know what I mean? He's goofing off. Again, you love him. You don't hate him. You don't want to be mean, but you know, oh, he's really getting to you. And here's the thing, make it your own. You know what I mean? And this is a description for no lines.
That's right.
There's no line. This was an actual description I got for the mattress store. Zero lines. And all basically what they were telling me is don't be a bitch is what they were telling me. But he's going to be funny and have the funny lines, but don't be a bitch in your reaction.
Right, right.
And you know what I mean? But they can't say that.
And then you cut to the mattress commercial and that whole scene takes place in the blurred background and it's just a stack of mattresses. And they're like, these mattresses are the fucking best.
You're so right. Oh my God.
Look at it bend with the remote control.
And oh my God, you're so right.
Like, look at this bowling ball bounce off of it. And meanwhile, in the background, you're like, okay, I guess Hank is nice.
Yeah, my background acting is a bit bitchy.
Yeah, it's not quite playing the lottery because you can be good at it. And it's also not quite poker. It's like going out for this. It's like you have to remember it's like playing, like slot machines.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can like, you know, play the right machines. You could like hold the right cards on video poker, but ultimately it is chance.
Well, it's like, but the problem is like when I had said about that, it doesn't involve talent. It's the sense that you can go in there with talent. You can be really funny. You can do such a good job.
And you can be good at that specific skill.
Yes. But that's never what comes out in the final product.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's as if it was a waste because we know people that can book and book a lot and they're phenomenal.
Right.
But then in the final product, you're like, oh, you didn't even get to flex. You didn't even get to do, and I'm going to say it, this is general, but especially for the women, it's like you really,
right.
You very rarely get the funny role. It's always your husband gets the funny role.
It's because at the end of the day, the final choice goes to the owner of the French's mustard company or whatever. Wow. The fuck.
Big on condiments today.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big all my commercial ideas are condiments. And it's like, or whatever it is. It's like the CEO of Windex is going to be like, well, I don't think his face is good for it. And you're like, well, what the fuck do you know, you piece of shit?
Yeah, so this was your big roller coaster you had, including, and then the travel on top of that, which is really stressful.
Can I say the bowel thing quickly?
Yeah.
So this is the craziest thing that I've been doing this for like 15 years.
Yeah.
At the end, this was like this last final like little, what was it? Like the fourth, it was like a screen test or a chemistry test.
And it was all day. So you're there all day.
It was like
you're
all
mixed
afternoon
up with the people. Yeah.
Right. At the end of it, the casting director thought it was a good idea for us to go into the room with the clients and bow.
As a group.
As a group. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Like you
here?
Guys did a play.
Like we did a play.
I've never heard of anything like that in my life.
I thought it was so
never
insane.
Heard of that.
Anyway, I ended up doing the this bit where I do where I like, you know, when the Mr. Universe guys flex their front leg?
Yeah.
I did that instead. And then I asked them if they've ever seen Mr. Universe. Anyway.
And you wonder why.
But whatever. I guess I can't be the spokesman for ketchup.
No, listen. I'm glad you went. You got to do something. You got to give things
no,
a chance.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
And it's a very funny story.
It is a funny
story. And I'm proud of you for coming out on top of it. Because to sit and dwell on something.
No.
Imagine for what, for who.
Exactly. Well, this is the whole thing. Like, wait a minute. I'm going to be like upset that I'm not the guy who's like selling relish or whatever the
but
fuck.
But it's true.
I'm just going
it's
through
so
all the
true.
Condiments now.
And you have to move. You have to move on from these things because if you harp on the rejection, and I've been in a bit of that myself where I'm like harping on the things that like haven't happened or didn't happen.
I'm pretty good at immediately moving on.
You're very good at moving on. I dwell a little bit, but you're very good at moving on.
I think it's fun to bring it up on the podcast.
I think it is too. Well, the people had a right to know. What do you say? Shall we get to our guest?
Oh, yeah, we should. What are
we
talking
should.
About?
Yeah, what are we even talking about? Relish, mustard.
Everyone's like, what the fuck's wrong with these people?
Very fun guest
today. I'm swearing a lot.
Yeah, fuck this.
I guess we're shooting it early. We're shooting it. We're recording.
This is a movie.
Yeah, sorry. We're doing a movie here.
Yeah, the best we could come up
talk
with was
radio.
Two people podcasting. Yeah,
you know that movie, He Said, She Said? It's like that.
You guys are going to love it.
Is Christian Slater? Anyway, let's get to the guest.
We're going to get to the guest. And I just will say in this episode, I do mention a Patreon, which is going to be launching.
Your Patreon.
My Patreon in the next, I believe, week or two once we get everything out there. So get ready for that. There's a couple of prank tiers I think you guys are really going to enjoy.
There's a prank tier.
You guys will see. We will announce that once we launch it. And also, I do mention doing a potential sweepstakes for our 100th episode. Where
A sweepstakes. Are you showing up at people's house with a giant check?
Here's the thing. It's a sweepstakes where a listener gets to be a guest on the podcast.
Oh, that's fun.
So we are doing we're going to figure that out. Sure. And hopefully by next week.
Those never turn out very well.
They're not going to turn out well, but hopefully by next week, we're going to have a little more information on that. So I'm going to try to stay on top of this. I'm going to try to remember to stay on top of this. So
I think it was Kevin Bacon and he said, she said.
Isn't he someone? So, let's get to our guest. It was a great catch up. Okay. We had a massive time, and she describes it, but man, you guys got to see this backdrop of hers in her room. It was like, I want to post a picture of it. It was so phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was like, it's like very 90s, and it was just like, I mean, it just had me screaming in there. You know what I mean?
Is it a mural or?
It's just the design of the room. It's like the wallpaper. Like, it's just the whole room. You know what I mean?
Well, you guys will never see it, so.
You guys will never see it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest, Joan Ford, right after this break. It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party. Joan, hello.
Hi, Alana. Thank you for having me.
Oh my God, thanks so much for coming. Also, can we just say your backdrop is like sensational.
Thank you. This was a little, should I describe it at all?
Please.
It was like one of my quarantine projects. I moved into a new place that had an office, and I could decorate it any way I wanted. So I've got this like wallpaper that's very like early 90s Disney store. It's like a pink grid with geometric shapes on it. I think it's called Memphis Style. And I've got like I've got like curtains to match and a Miss Pac-Man arcade game in the corner. So it's very like, you know, it's very my vibe. It's very Courtney 1986, if you know what that is.
I love it. It's bright, it's fun, and it shows you're a businesswoman ready to get down to work.
Exactly. That's what I was going for when I picked all this out. She knows how to work.
It was business.
Yeah, she knows how to work. She knows how to have fun. She knows how to do it all.
Oh, God. Okay, Joan. Yes. Let's kick this off right. Scale of 1 to 10, in terms of your self-esteem, how you feeling today, recently, last little while, where are we at?
I feel like I'm gonna give it a 5. I feel like I was in a bit of a spiral all weekend, but I'm doing the work now to like, I know what I need to do to kind of like help lift myself out. I've started doing it. So, you know, I'm back on track. Hopefully I'm on my way to like a 7 by the end of the week.
Okay, that's fair. I'll take the 5. 5 is deemed a bit of a neutral, which is great because you can go down. That's a risky run, but you can also go up.
Yes.
And that's like something hopeful. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's the trajectory. I'd say like at like Saturday, Sunday, I was at, or like Saturday into like Sunday, I was at like a 3. But I'm working my way back up. I'm getting there. I'm doing it.
Are you willing to share a bit of the spiral or like what's a theme that got you spiraling? You don't have to,
no,
but I ask the hard hitting questions.
I'm happy to share. I feel like that's why that's why I came on the show. It's just a couple things. Like a lot of it's just work, you know, like I'm kind of in a lull with work right now, which always kind of like hits my self-esteem a little because I like to be working and I like a schedule. But also, so the big thing was though that I went to a Saturday, what is it? Friday night. I went to a pop punk night in downtown LA. It's called like Riot at the Disco. It's like a pop punk emo, like 2000s alt dance night. And it was a lot of It was so much fun. It was very fun. I had a lot of fun. I like mosh. I was in a mosh pit for the first time in like years. It feels like definitely years. I've definitely been years.
What mosh pits?
Yeah, I'm not admitting to doing a mosh pit in quarantine. I mean, I don't know if I should be doing. I should have been doing a mosh pit now. Who are the rules?
Yeah, but the whole point of the mosh pit is getting passed around. So yes, you're really not stopping anywhere for that long.
You're right. There was no chance for me, even though I got like punched in the tits a bunch of times, but that was great. I love that. It was good. I liked it. I mean, not intentionally. It was just like elbows were flying. And sometimes, you know, I have not been in a mosh pit since like physically transitioning. And it's like, oh, this is different. I have different parts to protect. And,
welcome.
It was fun. Thank you.
It's a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah. Welcome to Womanhood at the Warped Tour. I wanted to share this because, like, yeah. But it was very fun. But also, you know, I was very and this is my own hang-ups, but I was very aware that I was on the older end of the spectrum of people who were there, and that gets me in my head, and also just the idea, like, it just gets me in my head about getting older and being like, I don't know if it's like time to hang this up right now, but is the time to hang it up like encroaching on me, and that's sad. And I don't know, it just got, that's kind of what got me into a spiral, you know, like, was it embarrassing that I was there to begin with? And even if it wasn't, is that time slowly coming up? So that was it.
I'm totally with you. I've definitely been feeling it, especially because we've been inside for so long. So now when you do see people, like, I'm having a hard time figuring out where I'm fitting in. Like, I agree with you. Like, what places should I be going to? What's my vibe? What's too party for me? Like, and before I would totally be up for a party. And now I'm like, can I do this anymore? Am I capable of this? Do I have the energy to stay up?
There's that. And like, especially, like, I was hanging out with like people like 10 years younger than me who are being like, maybe my legs are getting tired. Maybe I'm too old for this. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, what am I doing when like 28-year-olds are worrying that they're gonna like collapse on the dance floor? But I don't know. I feel like, so long as I how do you feel? I feel like I definitely still, I feel like it's, for me, it's all an image thing. I feel like I definitely still have the energy. I definitely, like, you know, I can still get like beaten up a little in that mosh pit and feel fine the next day. Physically, emotionally, maybe not so much. But how are you feeling? Where are your energy levels at for partying?
Yeah, I would say like it's two different things right now. I'm battling with age in turn. Like, I go to bed early, I wake up early, you know, this kind of thing. So it's like I'm definitely battling with age, where it's like physically I find I have a harder time staying up late. Like, I would say if I'm getting home between that 11 and 12 hour, I'm like, wow, what a night. Like, to me, what a huge outing I've had. But now I'm struggling on the other side of socializing with like not knowing how to talk to people anymore. So I can only imagine, like, to hang out with someone who's 28, I'm already having a hard enough time reflecting, because when I was 28, I was a nightmare. So if I'm hanging out with anyone that was like me, I'm like, you're too much, which is a lot for Alana Johnson. You know this, for me to call somebody much is a lot.
They have to be a lot. I can imagine. So it's, I mean, maybe it's, and some of it is just all like, we're like, I think we're all just touching on common themes of us, what's it like to reintegrate into the world, and how has the world changed, and what are, like, just like, what's everyone's vibe right now? It's weird and confusing, and I don't know, it even changes from like setting to setting. Like, I can go to, you know, I'll still go to certain I've been reintegrating to clubs. I feel like very at home at, and like very accepted. I don't feel kind of like I'm sticking out. But it, like, the, you know, the pop punk, I guess the pop punk scene is still very, you know, it hasn't. I don't know if, I don't want to say it hasn't like aged up, but it's just like it's a younger crowd than I think. The kids who kind of like grew up with that, they're just like, I love the music, but it's definitely like hit at an age where it definitely got popular when I was like a little bit older than I should have been for it. So I've always felt kind of like a little out of place as a fan within that genre, but.
Well, I know for me, when I was really into that genre, and listen, there's always a couple club bangers I can hop on board with, but I feel like my life was in more of a struggle. So it was like again, like 28, right?
Yes,
like
yes.
That was more relatable to me because I was like, yeah, I'm in the shit, this and that.
Yeah.
And then as I got older, my whole preference in music changed. And I only wanted, like, the older I get, the more upbeat stuff I want, because I'm like, you know what? We've been in the trenches. Let's stay positive. Let's stay happy.
Let's claw our way out. Let's not dwell.
Let's get out of here.
We're done. Let's get out of the Black Parade. Wait, what are your bangers? I want to know, but I want from that era, what are your bangers?
Okay. Well, let's talk about classification. Talk about classification, right? So it's like, let's start with the middle here, not the middle, but what would you have classified Nirvana as? Cause it depends on what town you're in, what people are calling what.
That's true. And like, I'm like, you know, this is not where I grew up, but the crowd is a very like, you know, like Orange County, like Bay Area, which I think is that crowd is like the birthplace. I'm probably wrong about this, but it feels very central, like pop punk vibe. But like Nirvana to me is just like straight grunge.
Yeah. Okay.
Punk, like, you know, but definitely like airing towards grunge.
Okay, what are you gonna call Joan and the Jets?
Joan and the Jets. That's pop. That's pop punk. I don't even know. I mean, I guess it was maybe like, do you mean Joan Jett and the Blackhearts? Or,
yeah,
Joan Jett, I would still like classify as like, I don't know. Did we have pop punk as a classification back then when she was putting out?
See, that's what I mean. I don't know. That's what I mean. Have I mislabeled things? I'm talking about.
Because I feel like, I don't know. I mean, and I'm not a music historian. I don't know for sure. But it does feel like if Joan Jett were to have like hit in the, if like I Love Rock and Roll were to have hit in like the like mid 90s, that would have definitely been like classified into like pop punk. But since I don't know if we like had it as a classification, I think when that came out, it was much more of a, like it was just like kind of like in the punk like rock scene, like classification.
Yeah, because I consider it more poppy. Like I think I'm with you. It's got a little more pop to me, but I would say that was kind of where I lingered, where I was like, yeah, rock and roll, anarchy, this. But then it was like not true because of where I grew up, and it was like, obviously that was not the case. I had a perfectly fine childhood. There was no struggle. It's like, it was fine.
Basically the same. Yes. Wait, so did you like, what, like Green, did you cut off at like Green Day? Did you cut
loved
off
Green
at,
Day.
Yes, yes.
Loved Green Day. Of Ooh. Course loved Green Day.
Should we go see Green Day in concert this weekend?
Here's the thing. Okay, so this is, if we went and saw Green Day, that to me is going to be an age-appropriate concert. Well, this we will find like-minded and similar age to us.
It's true. Well, it's this concert that I am probably going to go. It's called Hella Mega. It's at Dodger Stadium this weekend. It's, it's Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer. So I think it's going to be much more like
Weezer.
Right,
oh my God.
Right. But that's like much more like, so like what we're, I feel like your vibes are much like are in the very like early 90s, which I love, which I love too and grew up with. But like, I'm taught like, you know, stuff like My Chemical Romance and, you know, Fall Out Boy, that was all stuff that hit my early to mid 20s. I was like, I think Blink-182 was first hitting when I was like senior high school. And then that was like just about like a reasonable cutoff for me. And I was like, I'm okay to like this. But you know, like, it's like, you're always just like a little like, am I too old for this? I'm probably too old for this.
I have a question for you. What's got you going out and about? Are you like, do you feel like you're going out with a vengeance to make up for lost time? Or are you like to connect with people, to feel a sense of normalcy? Like, because not everybody's going out, like you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm trying to go out. I'm trying to be like, let's get back to being as normal socializing as possible. And I'm trying to go back to doing the things I used to do, like, you know, a patio at a bar, like whatever type thing. But it's like, I went to a main event. I went to this Dodgers game when California reopened and lifted the mask mandate. And I was like, I can't do stuff like this anymore. I just can't do it. I was like so overwhelmed. I was so freaked out. It was way too many people. It was like, and sports fans, which can be a particular crowd sometimes.
Yes. It can be a lot of like, you know, maybe like just a lot of excited talking, which leads a lot of spitting, which leads to a lot of spreading. It feels dangerous.
It did feel really dangerous, but like, where are you at? Like, what's the motivation for you?
I will say, like, I just fucking love dancing. Like, it's my favorite activities, and it's just like having been, like, I didn't quite like realize how much I missed it in quarantine, but once I could get back out there and like do it, it was just like, oh god, like I never want to stop. I can't stop. So I've just been like looking for places and excuses to go dancing for like the last like 2.5 months. In fact, like the first time I went, I think it was like about 2-3 months ago, Kate Raff's been on this show, right?
Yeah, Kate,
my best friend Kate texted me and they were like, hey, like Los Globos is open for dancing. You need to get here. And I was like, okay. And then I was just like, well, never, like, I can't ever not do this again. Even though like society cuts you, it seems like society like cuts you off from it after a while, but whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, they truly do. And it really kind of bothers me because I'm like, the moves aren't changing. If you can follow the rhythm of the music, this is timeless to me.
Exactly. If you can get in there and you can do it and you can, like, you know, jump what you're supposed to jump, whatever, I think you're fine. But, you know, people just, for whatever reason, there's not a lot of, like, late 30-year-olds at, like, the pop punk nights I'm going to. But, yeah, so I it's really been, like, miss that. It's been a lot of that, just missing dancing, missing going out. And also, you know, this is, to get, like, a little, like, this is TMI. I apologize.
Ooh, no, don't apologize.
But I've just been in, I've been transitioning. I feel like I started on like HRT, which is hormone replacement therapy, taking estrogen, like about like a year before quarantine. And I just feel like I like blossomed a lot in quarantine. I come out and I have like a very different, like, you know, I feel different and I look different and I have a different, like, I just interact with people like differently. And this is all to say that I've just been on the best, like, kind of like hookup train of my life. Like, I've never like had this kind of like, just like, I never really had, like, you know, because of a lot of reasons, I never, like, in my teens and 20s, I never had a like real like kind of like, just like, I'm out there and I'm having fun and I'm like meeting people and hooking up and it's not serious. And like, I'm finally like getting that and I love it. And I just, it's nice. It's fun. I don't know. It feels like it's a little bit of a blossoming I should have, most people go through a lot earlier in their life.
I think it's fantastic. And I can see the desire to want to get back out and a bit of frustration that would come with having to have been locked in, which everybody had, but I just mean in the sense that it's like, you know, I am like figuring out how to re-enter society, but based on what you're talking about, you're just looking to enter society. You're like, oh, I didn't have round one, let's go, now I'm in my prime, I'm ready to roll. Like, because I agree, you have been through a lot of changes. Your look is different. Like, you look completely different. You look phenomenal. I said this to you at BugCon. Yeah, when I saw you at BugCon.
I appreciate that. It's always nice to hear, and thank you for saying that. But yeah, you know, it's just like, I feel like I'm very much the person I was always supposed to be. It's just taken me a long time to get here. And I feel like, you know, and some of it is, I also think just, like, there's a lot of that energy, a lot of, like, I'm back out in the world, I want to connect with people, so maybe that's why it's making these connections a little easier right now. But also, it's just, you know, I feel like I'm much more confident in my body and much more confident in just what I want, you know, sexually, and I'm ready to go out there and get it a little bit. And it's yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not me re-entering. I'm not re-entering society as the person I was. I'm re-entering as a new person. And
I totally agree. It's, and great. You can tell that confidence that you've got. Like, I mean, we've known each other a long time, and it's like, definitely all of us have seen each other through different, like anybody. And as you, God, I hate to bring it back up, but as you get older, bodies change, this personalities change, or like, you know, the way you go out and conduct yourself changes. And it's like, when I saw you at BugCon, I'm telling you, especially because you were doing the shorts and heels. You didn't have it at BugCon, but you've been wearing the shorts and heels, which has been a phenomenal combo. And I asked you where it was at BugCon because it's been such a good combo online
that
I've been following closely.
I just feel like I did. So you missed it. Like, we saw each other at BugCon on
Sunday,
right? Yeah. I did all of Saturday in heels. I, you know what? I took a break. I put on my Converse. I'm sorry you missed it.
I showed up in a flat as well with a skirt. Yeah. And I was like, I should wear a heel. And then I was like, I'm here for 7 hours. This is way too long.
I was there all day. And also, like, I was there all night before. And we had, like, I told you a little bit about it, but we had, like, a Saturday Bug Con night, like, after party.
It was like a prom,
It was, like, a prom, and then we did, like the after prom thing. I was proud of myself that I was even able just to, like, get myself out of bed and get makeup on my face and get to Burbank.
Yeah. The old Burbank Airport Marriott.
But you
were, can't believe we did that.
I cannot believe that it's the... people fly in for, I love it, but it's so admirable. People are flying in from, like, fucking Chicago and all over the country. It's very cool.
Well, I was very, I will say, so at BugCon, and this is, by the way, for the listeners, we're going to be launching a Patreon with the BugCon episode that was the listener and audience Q&A, and a lot of people were reaching out about connection and... Yeah. Confidence within that, and especially in the pandemic, losing a lot of that because we didn't have the validation anymore. Mm-hmm. And like, there was a lot of sense of like fear in a lot of the questions. And I gotta say, like, I'm so proud of you for like really pushing to get out there and follow stuff you love, like you said, dancing, or like figuring out like sexually, being like, this is what I'm into right now, this is what I'm looking for, right? Like, all this stuff requires confidence to be so sure of what you want to do and where you want to do it. And it's like, I'm so proud of you for doing that. Like, I feel like I'm still struggling a little bit where I'm like, okay, do I like group hangs? Do I like, is it just smaller numbers I'm doing better in? Am I good to be in a crowded place, or am I like freaking out and I can't do it? Like, I feel like I'm not, like, I'm curious to know, because you had said of whatever the weekend was, feeling a bit of a spiral, but you said you're doing all the right things now, like a bit more back on track now. Like, what are your things? Because I find in my spiral, my social spiral I've been having, the thing to get back on track I need to do is lean into it and push myself to do more social. And like, when I'm spiraling, I'm pushing in deeper to the spiral in hopes that... Mm-hmm. That element of fear will be removed. But like, what are you doing to be back on track, if you said from earlier?
And that makes total sense. Like, I totally get that idea. Like, I think like pushing the spiral makes total sense, because it kind of like, and I feel like, you know, but specifically what I've been doing, like, honestly, it's just the like, it's like a lot of it is the getting on top of like taking care of my body, like, you know, exercise, eating right. Like, I've definitely fell into a spiral recently of like, or fell into a bad habits again with just like eating shit and like not exercising and maybe relying on recreational drugs a little too much, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I really need, I like, you know, that stuff takes a toll, and it like really fucks with my serotonin and more whatever. It really fucks, and like, I just need, like, part of it is just doing that, the, like, you know, being like, okay, I'm gonna get back to doing the getting up every morning and doing my bike and eating a salad every day and drinking enough water, and you know, that's my pattern. Like, it's, oh, like, you know, I have cycles where I'm really good at it and cycles where I'm really bad. I'm just coming out of one where I was really bad. So I don't know if that's the most exciting answer, but it's just like what I'm, it's just like what I know I need to do to get myself feeling better.
I mean, I don't know what the exciting answer is for self-care, except maybe like I went to a tropical island and reset. I'm like, yeah, that's exciting. That's, I'll accept that.
Yes. But, you know, it's just, I feel like part of that is, you know, like, figuring those things out are kind of, like, part of what you were talking about. Like, just, I don't know, I feel like my whole life and figuring out who I am is just part of, like, leaning into the, like, that idea of, like, leaning into the spiral. Because, like, I don't know, not to, like, keep bringing it back to this, but I feel like, you know, a lot of, like, the early stages of, like, coming out and transitioning just feel like leaning into, you're leaning into your spiral. You're leaning into the shit that, like, scares you, and you're like, fuck, this feels... like, you know, as freeing as it feels, there's also, like, that vibe of, like, this feels crazy. You're blowing up your life a little bit. or not even a little bit. You're just fucking blowing up your life. But like, I feel like that's what we're all like at different levels. That's what we're all talking about. It's just like, you got to have the courage to be like, you know what, whatever is happening right now is not working. And it's time to like blow it up a little and see where the pieces land. Cause if it's, you know, I don't know. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And it's like, I will say, like, in your particular case, because we had originally met before the beginning of the transition, and then through, and obviously we've known each other since, so
yes.
And now we're here. But I will say, it's like, I mean, and I want to know from you, what was that like in the specific to the comedy community? Because it's very different. The comedy community, at least for me in my life, I find I understand and connect with people in a completely different way than someone I would say is quote unquote normal, in the sense of like a banker or something, like a job I'm talking about, right? So it's like, what was that like for you? Because I know for me on my end, it was like, I was like, okay, this is great. Great news. You want everyone to be themselves. We're all in this community because we're just trying to be ourselves.
Yes.
But I mean, what was that like for, specific to comedy?
I think, honestly, like, I can't imagine a, like, I'm sure there, I can't say I can't imagine, there, you know, there were some things here and there that weren't the most positive, but for the most part, it was a very, it was a extremely, like, positive community to go through this process in, because, everyone, like you said, everyone's supportive. I think we're all there to kind of, you know, I think, I don't know, but it's in performing arts. A lot of what we do, whether it be writing or performing, I think is just like this act of like publicly like figuring ourselves out, you know. But I also think like there's, you know, I think there, I found that there wasn't a lot of like, I feel like there's wasn't a lot of drama about it in general, just because like, not that there isn't drama in the, in like the comedy community, but like the drama is mostly about like comedy, and that's what people are concerned about, and people are like concerned about what, like what they're doing, and I don't think they have a lot of time to be like, isn't it fucking weird what's going, like what this person's doing? I think like people I think it's like everyone has their own, like in a positive way, it's like everyone has their own shit, everyone's trying to do, like, you know, it's not like in my hometown where it's just like a bunch of people who like don't have a lot of like, you know, maybe don't have a lot of stuff socially or whatever going on, and you can just like dwell, like it's like, well, this is the new topic of conversation, we have to talk about it. I just don't feel like it was like talked about that much. It was just like something I did, everyone was like, that's cool, good for you, and then we like moved on because like everyone, because fucking Herald auditions were coming up or whatever.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I'm so glad that that's what the reality was on your end. Yeah. Because to me it was like, just one day I had seen you at Shabby, actually. This was the first time I had seen you at Shabby. You looked great head to toe.
Thank you.
And then all of a sudden you had, because you had signed in as Joan Ford.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, okay. And then never thought of it again. I just was like, oh, it's okay. Joan now, sounds good. Just tell me exactly what you want me to call you and we're good to go.
Yes, that was very much the vibe. It was just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, it was just like, yeah. And it's like, we had other shit. Like, wait, was that Shabby in the, which Shabby was that? Were we in
that
the-
was San- that was Sanctum.
Sanctum, wow.
Remember? Okay, okay. That was Sanctum, yes. A couple years ago.
Yes, because I think the first, yes, I think you're, I'm remembering now, like, for whatever, my, like, transition very much, like, happened along with, like, UCB Sunset opening. Remember going through that at the same time. Oh my gosh, yes, okay. So, yeah, so, but I feel like that was very much the vibe, like, maybe a few people had questions, but most people were just like, okay, cool, this is what's happening now, like, let's move on, because we have shows to put on.
I mean, there was probably more drama around you getting better jobs. Like, yeah. I remember when you got your first writing job, you had told me you were directing a show, and whose house were we at? Oh my God, this is going to kill me now. I can't remember. We were at somebody's house, and you were like, I start my first job tomorrow. And I was like, oh my God, like, it's about time. You're sitting here directing a show.
Wasn't that the It Sucked Awards for whatever year? I think that was the 2017 It Sucks Award. It Sucks.
Oh, yeah. And it was, Oh my God. And did I do like a hosting thing for it or something, or a bit or something like that?
I think you did. It was like me and Patrick McDonald ran it that year.
Yes. That's exactly what it was. Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. But what job was that? Do you remember? I can't remember which one it was.
That would have been Thundercats okay. Roar.
I remember this. Yeah. So there's probably more drama about being like, somebody got a job and I didn't.
Yes.
So you know how upset everybody gets.
Yes. And I'm not going to pretend I'm free of that jealousy. I work my way through it.
Me too, man.
I recognize it, and I'm like, it's okay. It's okay to want what other people have. You just gotta like not like be toxic about it. But
it takes a lot to genuinely be happy for people. And I found I would start with the jealous and then be like, no, but it's good. And if someone can get a job, and I would hope they would be happy for me if I got a job. And now I'm able to be like, I'm glad anyone's getting a job, because it means there's jobs. Like, that's where I'm at right now, is that I'm like, it's a victory for all. Yeah. Like if you're telling me right now you're starting a job, I'd be like, thank God. Yes. Okay, great. There's jobs.
I love it. And I think a lot of that is okay. A lot of that is just like, at least for me, is, you know, like, it kind of embrace, not like, I don't know if I want to say like embraced in your jealousy, but like acknowledging it and being like, that's an understandable human emotion, but it doesn't mean that you need, like, it's more about just like, you know, whenever I have those feelings, I look at it as like, okay, this is just motivation, because I want to be doing better and I want to be moving forward, and that's all you can use it for. But I feel like acknowledging those feelings really helps me be like, okay, and like, I'm so thrilled and happy for my friends who are, you know, and like, I don't know, it also feels like we're in such, like, the more you're in it, the more you realize it's such like a fucking like pinball machine of like, sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down, and that's how it is for everybody. Maybe you have a, like, and it's just like, we're all in the kind of pinball machine together, rolling around. Sometimes we score big, sometimes we don't, and that's okay. And we have to be there for each other.
I think you're totally right, and that makes me happy. Like, I will say this, here is a treat in terms of getting older, is that we can act like that, and we can feel those feelings more on the positive side, or at least on the hopeful side. Like, my therapist wrote me this morning. I guess I sent him a pretty depressed message the last time I reached out a couple days ago, and he was like, well, Alana, you know, maybe we need to come up with a distraction or something else to do to feel a bit of hope. Because he was like, you need hope. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess my message sounded pretty hopeless. Like, I think I sounded really like in a spiral or whatever. And but he's totally right. And that's what, like, the way that we need to look at it now is where you're like, a job for one means there's a job for all of us. It's just finding the right one.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you get in that dire head. I think when you're younger, you get in that dire headspace of like, well, this person's sick. And you know what? I also think it's like true. I mean, not that everyone doesn't go through it, but I think anytime you're part of a group that's outside of, you know, like, I'm just going to say, like, you know, straight white cis men, you feel like you're pitted against everyone else in your group, whether it, you know, I mean, at least that's certainly like feelings that can, like, when I see, you know, other, like, you know, trans women getting, like, high-profile writing jobs, you know, there's that, I think the industry we're in is kind of designed to make you feel like, you know, like, well, there's only room for one of you at the top, and, like, that's so bad and so toxic, and I know that's not the case, and I know one trans woman getting a job means that, like, the door is opening for, like, all of us. And that's a great
but
thing.
But it's so hard. It's so hard.
But you
are pitted against each other. It's not, like, it's... Yeah. You're made to feel like... Like, I have my own short list of people where if I see them in the audition room, you're like, oh, I'm not getting it. And that's crazy. That's crazy.
Because those people, like, I don't know. It's like, we should all be there for each other. And one person getting in the door should mean that they should, like, then they're going to hold the door open for us. And I think that's, like, important for us to remember when we get through that door. That, you know, we're just here. We need not pit ourselves against each other the way, like, the rest of the world or the rest of the industry wants us to do. Like, we don't, like, that's something I've been really, like, not in this case and in just, like, in general, I've been working really hard at saying, I do not need to put myself in the boxes that other people want to put me into. I'm an older trans woman. Like, I don't have to feel like I'm cut off from any jobs or any writing jobs. I can still work towards what I want, because if I just give up and say, fuck it, like, I guess the industry, like, I'm never going to get this because I'm too old or too this or too that, then you are never going to get it because you're not doing the fucking work.
100%. And I think that's like, sorry, just to get back to what my therapist has said in terms of hope. And I think in that message that I sent, I made it seem like I don't have hope for future prospects or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, if I'm telling myself that narrative, of course I'm not going to put the work in, because I've already told myself I'm not getting the job because I'm, as you said, struggling, too old, or like I've been out of the game for too long because we've all been away. I haven't done enough shows, this, and this. And then it's like, all of a sudden I've given up on myself because I told myself Hollywood has given up on me. I've robbed myself of any kind of opportunity and the right attitude to go into it. And nobody's going to hire sad sack Alana. Nobody, you know what I mean?
Or Joan, or like any, yes, exactly. I agree. It's like, I fully believe, I don't know, that, you know, it's what you put out is so important. And if you are putting out, like, I don't know, this is what I tell myself. I don't mean to be dismissive of anyone else's experiences, but, you know, putting out that hunger and that positivity and that desire to work and, like, you know, consistently getting better, like, doing the work to get better, people, you get, like, you know, recognized. And, you know, I think I was going through a similar spiral, you know, worried about work like 5 years ago, and I kind of didn't give into it. And, you know, I look back where I was 5 years ago and where I am now, and I'm like, well, you know, would I have been happier if I just given up, if I just said, fuck it, this isn't for me, it's never going to be for me? Would I be happy or would I be okay with, or would I just disregard all the stuff that I do have right now that I did get, that I did accomplish? And I'm like, no, I'm fucking proud of that. And, you know, maybe I'm not like show running, like, you know, an NBC show right now, but would I rather have no writing work or no, like, than what I have right now? And it's like, no, that's crazy. So, like, you just got to keep pushing.
I mean, you're totally right. It's like a combination of pushing and waiting. So yes. It's this idea, because it's like, you got to wait it out. Some people can get something right away in life, in so many different aspects. Like, you know, say somebody gets married out of high school and has a totally great time and that lasts and they're having a blast and that's something they got right away. And you're like, okay, I guess so. But other people, you got to wait it out and it ends up paying off, but you got to wait it out. But if you're not pushing, even like self-care, it's like, you're not going to get better overnight, but if you're not, whatever you need to do, eating right, like you said, getting sleep, drinking water, or if people meditate or like whatever, it's like, if you're not doing that, the waiting is absolutely useless. Yeah. You might as well throw in the towel, because you're not going to change and you're not going to feel better.
I totally agree. I think you're 100% right. And I do think, you know, I do think just in general, we as humans, like, we like, you know, the overnight success stories, or we like, you know, the stories about, you know, we love our like 30 under 30 list. We love our stories about,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Yes, yes. Like, and we
wow,
love those.
Long gone.
I know. Well, yeah, I'm definitely never, long gone, me too. Never going to show up on one of those. I mean, most people don't get to show, like, most people don't hit it right out of the gate. Most people don't get to be on 30 under 30 lists. And, like, that doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. It just means, like, we like, you know, it sells BuzzFeed or it sells clickbait. It makes for a good headline, but who fucking cares? Like, just because you didn't, like, just because, you know, we love, like, our 30s and our 30s so much doesn't mean you can't do it as, like, a 35-year-old or a 40-year-old or whatever.
Okay, so here's a question I have for you then. Because I know my answer to this. If you had, because you said about 5 years ago you were going through this spiral, right? Uh-huh. If you had hit the ground running and say, blew up early on in your career and in your pursuit of this, right? how do you think it would have panned out? And here's the example answer I have, because this is my answer. I would have fucked it up because emotionally I wasn't stable enough to handle the rejections that would become that come with success, right? It's not all yes. success. There's always some rejections in there. And I was too personally affected by them that I wouldn't have been able to rally for the successful times and the successful jobs, because I would have just kept that stink of the rejection, because that stuff mattered to me so much more. So I think if I had... whatever, quote unquote, hit it right out of the gate, I think I would have fucked it up and like already been done. I think I would have made a real bad reputation for myself.
That's exactly how I feel. I was
really?
Yes. I mean, especially because, you know, a lot of it, and like, would I have, if I had like hit it right out of the gate and I had made a, like, I, you know, I, in my early 20s, I had made a name for myself as my, you know, I will say my, like, old identity, would I have been so stuck in that? Would I have been so, like, trapped in that? And that was, like, my brand or whatever, that's who I am, that I would have never, like, had, like, you know, the courage, the freedom or the room to feel like I could just, like, you know, fuck it and, like, throw away my whole old identity and come back as, like, this, like, you know, I new person isn't exactly right, but you know what I mean. Like, come back as this whole new person. I don't know. I mean, there are definitely, like, you know, people in the public eye who have done it, but I don't know that, you know, I would have been one of, I would have been
That's
one of them.
Such a good point. That is such a good point. Like, and maybe, like, a feeling, like, when something comes, especially a lot of success or this, and this, a bunch of jobs, like whatever is coming, you do feel a little stuck in the sense that you're like, okay, don't change, no sudden movements, because I don't want this to go away. So just stay exactly the like way that it is. You know what I mean?
This is how people know me now. This is how they like me. And if I change one little thing, am I gonna lose everything I've built? So, you know, I'd like to think that this personal change, you know, this change that I needed to do would have taken precedence over that, but who fucking knows? You know, it's really easy to get, like...
You're right. Who knows?
It would have made it harder. It would have definitely made it harder, I think. And also, you know, I feel like... I will say I feel like so much of my, like, who I was before I made this change... And, you know, we all grow and we all get better as people, but I feel like I was, like, very, you know, I was... I had a lot of, like, toxic energy back then because I was so... I felt, like, so stifled and, like, ashamed of who I was as a person. And that came out in, like, not the most positive ways. And I think if I had, like... I think if I had become successful as that person, it would have very much, like, you know... It would have been a lot... It would have just been encouragement for that, like, toxic, like, behavior. And I don't think I would... You know, I don't know what ways, I think... But just being, like, entitled, feeling like... And, like, kind of, like, this shitty, like, mix of, like, of shame and entitlement would have, like, led me to, like, really fuck it up.
I think that was what I was feeling at the time when I first got here. And there was, like, I had some momentum, which was nice. You know, the new person around town, everyone's like, who's this? Like, you have your quick moment before somebody else comes to town.
Yeah.
But it's like in my who's this moment, piquing some interest. At that time, I was very hard on myself and felt a lot of shame around my body. And when I first got here, I was heavy in an eating disorder and was like, definitely a lot of people commented on my body. And I was like, I have to stay this way to be successful.
Yeah.
I had to stay sick to be successful, because the only thing driving me is that self-hate, that shame, that kind of self-torture, and this is what you have to be a tortured artist. And now I'm like, I mean, you already said it, to have the space to be yourself.
Yeah.
And I am so glad, like, I went to a rehab in between, you know, I'm like so glad I had a second to just be like, sort this out, figure this out. And of course, we're always learning about ourselves through life, but it was like to have a moment to really take something that I convinced myself had to be a certain way because of shame, and to be able to be like, you have a second to like sort through this. And it's like, I just think you're so, like, the toxic energy, it's like you're so right, where you're like, if something goes now and I'm stuck with this, I'm fucked. Yeah. Like, you're fucked. What are you, how are you going to get out of it?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. And I feel like, you know, you see that a lot with, I feel like you see that a lot with celebrities, like, you know, who knows what they're going through. But I feel like you especially see it, like, in comedians who get older and are just, like, really stuck in, like, their fucking, like, whatever, like, they, who they were in their, like, when they, when you got successful is who you stay the rest of your life. And, you know, at least what I think that's true of when you're really young. But I think, like, you know, hitting it, and who's to say, like, you know, how far I'll will go. But, like, you know, I'm very grateful for the perspective I've gained by like having time, like this time to really figure myself out. And I'm thankful for the people in my life, you know, like I'm thankful for the, I'm very grateful for my life. And, you know, as nice as, you know, success at 23 sounds, there's also a part of me that's like, well, but I wouldn't have the connections or bonds I have, you know, if I had made it. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't have my best friends and the people I know. And I'm like much more, I'm much more grateful for that than I think anything I, you know, I'm glad I was able to, I don't know how you feel, but I'm glad I have my life as it is now.
Here's the thing. We were both able to get jobs anyways. So it exactly. worked out. It was like, exactly. we just, it worked out. Like, we both worked really good jobs. So it's totally yes. worked out.
We're doing the stuff we love and we're not like complete shitheads. Hopefully. Yeah. What do you think is like, I'll take that over. I'll take that.
Yeah, if you guys think Joan and I are shitheads, please tweet at Self-Esteem Party, yeah. hashtag shitheads, and we'll know you're talking about us.
All the Apple reviews are going to be like, actually, you guys are total shitheads. But yeah, but I love that. I'm like, do you, I wanted to go back and ask you, so what did you, when you said, when you need to look for, like, hope, like your therapist suggested, do you, what did you do? Like, how did you find it? Or are you still figuring it out?
It is still a bit of figuring it out. Definitely one of the things that I have found hope in terms of COVID is finding a way to be able to connect with people, which is why I am pushing myself to socialize as safely as what works for me. Everybody mm-hmm. is different, right? Mm-hmm. So for my comfort level, but that's given me hope that I'm like, okay, one day I will be at a place where I can like see people and it's going to be okay. So it's okay. Like that has been one thing just in terms of like a social life and connection like with people. But like in terms of career, man, oh my God, I just have to like come up with like a to-do list and I get hope the more things I cross off of it of just my own things, my like finish this script yes. you never finished or like you know what I mean, random, or like, oh yeah, write that thing down you meant to write down, you know.
I love a to-do list. I love a planner. I love just like, you know, and especially to, like just put everything on it. Just like every little stupid thing you have to do, because you'll get energy just by being like, okay, I walk the dog, cross that off. And like, yes. Then you can look at like, you look at like the five little things you did between like, you know, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. and you're like, yes, okay, I'm on a roll. And that like, that barrels me into like the bigger stuff.
Joan, we are on the exact same page, right? Yes. Like even the podcast today, yes, like even doing this right now,
yes,
right?
Yes, I was just
like, it was on my to-do list and I was like, so now I've already gotten something work related done. Yes. So have you, we've already gotten it done. We have the whole rest of the day ahead of us. And then you're just like, okay, look at me go. Like I am doing something. And like my therapist had said, the idea of having like a distraction, this is a distraction. I am sitting here talking with my friend that I ran into at BugCon. So that's yes. the social aspect. Oh, here's hope. I'm running into people again. And then it ended up working into something about work. So it's like, you're a big part of it for today. You're
Thank
a big
you.
Part of
you
today's hope. Yeah. It's like, it's you just so nice.
You are too. You're my big like social interaction for the day. And like, just like feeling like, you know, I love getting asked to do podcasts. I just, you feel like, you feel wanted. You feel needed. So,
yes! Like,
right?
Oh you're my like, God. Joan, I'm with you.
It's a blessing. I love getting asked to, because like, you know, I don't know about you, but I do go through these days where I'm like, oh, like I even like, you know, I have my own stuff to do, but I don't have any like work. I don't have any like where I'm have to be. If I just like, you yeah. know, it's yeah. like, but I'm like, I like, even for anything, it, like this podcast, I love being like, okay, like I have to be here for like, and it feels like I'm out in the world again. I don't know. It's great.
It's kind of like, and I will say this for you as a podcast guest, sorry about that. I will say it's like, you've come in with the exact perfect energy for this podcast because we like to have fun. We like to have a laugh, but we like to get into it. So it's like, it's kind of great because it counts as a work thing because you're like, well, I'm doing this with a comedian and this will go out and people will listen to it. The equivalent of like when we would do live shows, there will be an audience. It's just they're in their homes listening to this, but it still kind of counts, right? But then you also get that aspect of being like, yeah, but I talked about a bunch of real stuff and I got to connect with somebody. I got to learn about them. They got to learn about me. So it's kind of like, again, this, I knew this was going to be the highlight of my day and it 100% is. And you're like, everyone should have you on their podcast. Of course, you're such a joy.
You've been a joy and everyone, I don't know, I shouldn't open up the door for you like that, but everyone would be privileged to be on your podcast, is what I'll say. Because I don't know if you don't have room for everybody on your podcast.
I don't. If you guys want to be on the podcast and you think you're worth it, tweet at Self-Esteem Party, hashtag I'm worth it. It's a bit of a Maybelline campaign as well.
Yes. Do you know Mark Rennie's podcast, right?
Yes.
Our friend Mark Rennie, for the 100th episode of his podcast, Two Old Queens, had like listeners doing like an essay writing contest.
No, really?
Yeah. It was just like anyone could submit and they picked the best essayist got to be on the show for the 100th episode.
Oh my God.
You should do that.
My 100th episode is either coming up or we just passed it. Something like we're right there.
Yeah.
I should do something like a sweepstakes of somebody getting to be a guest on the podcast. It might end up being a 5-minute episode, most of that being intro on my part. You know, we'll just have to see how it goes. I'm open to chatting with anybody. This is great. I'm taking this idea, not the essay part. That's too much work for me to read. But yes. I'm going to do some sort of a sweepstakes where listener can be on the show. Joan, what a great idea.
Kind of just stealing it from Mark Rennie. By the way,
Mark, thank you for... Yeah, it is. Yeah. I've been on it. I had such a good time.
I love that podcast. So fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Yes.
Huge shout out. What were you going to say, Joan?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, just like... I think you should make it hard for people. I think it should be like people have to mail in. Don't let it be email. People have to like...
Oh, my God.
It's like the Nickelodeon Toys R Us sweepstakes from like 1985. Like people should like have to cut it out and mail it in.
Yeah, I'll do the mail in. Honestly, I've always wanted a P.O. box. Obviously, I'm not going to give everybody my home address because people will show up, much like my ex-boyfriend did, who did also end up being on the podcast as a direct result of showing up to my house.
Oh, wow. It worked out.
This is, like if you can, okay, here's what we'll say. We'll do a letter campaign and I'll find a way to get a P.O. box or have them sent to somebody else's house without their permission. If you can find my home and you show up here, you are guaranteed the sweepstakes winner. If you can find my home and come to my home, you are allowed to do the sweepstakes. I think that's a good
idea. You should like layer in like clues throughout like the next like 5 episodes. Be like who, like, you know, like, you know, it's like the name, like you could like not clear clues, but like you drop the name of your street somehow and then like.
Yeah, for the real listeners. For the real listeners. Okay.
It's like a treasure hunt and the treasure is getting to be on a podcast.
And I mean, is that not gift enough? Hello?
Is that not the true treasure?
Is that not pure gold?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, Joan, you started this podcast at a 5, at a neutral 5, having come from a 3 on the weekend in hopes of getting to a 7 end of week. What are the odds we've helped launch you to get to that end of week 7? And if you don't think you're on the way yet, what can I do as a friend to help you get there?
Oh, well, I was going to say I'm definitely on the way. I feel so great. I feel really good right now. Like I might be hovering. I might be at a... I might have already like hit the 7.
Oh my God. Because I usually ask how people are feeling end of podcast, but because you had an end of week goal, I was like, okay, let's see for the end of week goal. I don't want to ask too much out of her.
Well, so here's what I think would help. Like, you know, maybe I'm hovering like at like a 6 minute. Like I'm definitely close to a 7 right now. Let's talk about like how... What what do you think I should do to maintain it? Like, you know, because, like, you know, I'm not going to have you at my side all week. So, like, I could see it, like, once I'm off here, like, by tomorrow, it, like, dipping a little bit. So what do I do? What's the strategy to keep it at where I am right now?
Okay, so here we go. So the first things first. So this is going to come out by tomorrow. So it'll be Tuesday. So first things first, having something to post about that you've done is always a confidence booster because you're going, look, I'm doing stuff. So just the post alone, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to guess at least half a point on the post just because you're like, look, I've done something and I'm going to be posting about it. You know what I mean? Okay, here's the second thing. I'm going to get back to you with fan feedback. My fans out there, you are loyal, you are fierce, and you are worth the shout out. So whatever comments and feedback you have about this episode, because they write me every week, they're all fantastic, please send them my way and I will get them to Joan by end of week. I will get them to Joan. So that is, as a friend, that's what I'm going to do for this end of week 7.
I love that, and I can't wait. I can't wait for that.
Yay! Oh my God, like, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited too. I definitely also feel like I'm going to forget about it, and then which is always the best surprise when, like, it's like when you forget about, like, you ordered something on Amazon and it arrives, you're like, oh yeah, this thing. So, like, I'm looking forward to forgetting about this and then, like, remembering on Friday. And
being to be your Jeff Bezos. Yes. Joan, where can we find you and things that you've worked on?
You can watch a lot of my show. You can watch DC Superhero, or a lot of shows I've written for. Yabba Dabba Dinosaurs is premiering on HBO Max sometime in September. And you can catch DC Superhero Girls and maybe Thundercats Roar on Cartoon Network whenever they air it. And also I'm on Instagram. I'm on Instagram and Twitter as Joan Haley Ford. And I Twitch a lot at twitch.tv/Joan Haley Ford. So any of those places you can find me.
Oh my God, we love it. If you guys would like to follow this podcast, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at @TheOnlyAlannaJohnson on Instagram and at @Alanna_Johnson on Twitter. Joan, I cannot thank you enough. Truly thank you for making my day.
You as well. I feel like I'm excited for the rest of the day. I'm blasting into it with, like, a renewed self-esteem, new energy. Thank you.
Wow. And away we go.
Believe in yourself, believe in your body.